You're listening to a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more audio and visual content, visit streamschurch.org.
I have a chiropractor friend. His name is Greg. He's really good. And he's really good because he's the only one that can get my body back into alignment. But when he does it, there's a move that he makes where he literally jumps off the floor and comes down because I'm so hard to get back in. It puts me back in place. And people say to me, "You got to try my chiropractor." I said, "No, if they don't jump and land on you, they probably can't work for me." So we have to be close. And it's free, and I think he really likes jumping on me too. I think it's a lot of fun because most clients he doesn't get to do that. So after the holiday season, I had grandchildren here, of course. They left Thursday, and they were with us for a whole month. 3.5-year-old grandson who's just a blast. I don't know why I didn't lose any weight when I was with them, but I didn't. But I need an adjustment from a chiropractor for being with him for that long of a time. We also have a new puppy dog that's 9 months old, but she's a Rhodesian Ridgeback, so she's 80 pounds and very strong. And sometimes when you go down to give her, say hi, she wants to jump at the same time. And when worlds collide, I lose. I'm not lying to you. It's like I'm like dazed. And when she hits you or we're going for a walk and she decides she wants to go that way, it's like I need an adjustment from a chiropractor because of that. Have you ever been driving a car and you hit the curb and then all of a sudden you're driving your car and it goes to the right or to the left? And what do? You go to Discount Tire to get your tires aligned, right? To get them back in alignment. There's the reason I'm saying all this, okay? So, same thing like in life. Sometimes we get out of whack. We get out of alignment. Something hits us hard, we get out of place and things aren't lined up. And the danger of that is your nervous system, when things are not going well, or if there's pinched things, then your body doesn't work right, or you lose strength. That's why you're in pain. The danger with your tires being out of alignment is you could be driving down the road and be wandering or whatever and get into an accident. There's a lot of things that can go happen. So the thing about life and spiritually and emotionally, all kinds of things can get us out of alignment and get us out of place. Alignment with the will of God, alignment with the Word of God, hearing the voice of God. And there are times and moments in life that we need to be intentional about aligning ourselves back, going to a place to get us back into alignment. Oh, I just saw you guys. How you doing? It's good to see you. It's like, don't make it. It's good to see you. Welcome. Back into alignment, so like that. The way I do it, the way I think the Bible teaches to do it, is by the practice of fasting. I think fasting is a wonderful way to get yourself back in alignment with what the Lord is speaking to you, the Word of God. That's one of the ways that I've learned to align my body, my spirit, and everything else to hear the voice of God. So we're going to be in the book of Acts. We've been studying the book of Acts about what is the demarcations of a spirit-empowered believer. And I think one of the demarcations is spirit-empowered believers, people that are really following Jesus, have periods and times when they fast for a purpose. So it's just going to be a practical teaching, talk a lot about fasting. We're starting a fast today for our church. We'd like you to join us. If you didn't get an email about that on Thursday, then you're not in our database. And please go to the table back there. Guest services table and fill out something and you'll get all our emails that we give out. So let's talk about what Jesus said, Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. This is a big portion Jesus talks about fasting. It says, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces." I just wonder what that looked like to show others they are fasting. Do you know what a disfigured fasting face looks like? I'm not sure I know what that looks like, but that's what these guys did. You know, like, "Are you okay?" "No. I just lack a lot of energy." "Why do you lack a lot?" "I'm just fasting for God." "Okay, good for you." So that's what these guys are doing. "Truly I tell you that they've received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you're fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And Jesus is talking to very, very, very religious people who use their spirituality to leverage the weak, to make them feel insignificant. And so these are that type of people. And I feel that way sometimes too when it comes to spiritual things like fasting. Like we'll be in a fast and they'll ask me, Pastor, what are you going to do? Well, I said, well, I'm going to do a modified Daniel fast. Basically, it's fruits and vegetables. And you're not supposed to have herbal teas, but I'm going to have herbal teas because I don't, you know. And if I don't check the labels on everything of the soup and go, oh, my gosh, they put a teaspoon. I don't do that. I just, if it's vegetable soup, I go ahead and eat it. And then I'll talk to somebody else and they're like 20-something. And what are you going to do? And go, chicken broth and purified water. Okay, and the next guy goes, I'm just doing tap water, man. Straight, drop dead tap water. And I'm like, man, I'm not spiritual. And I'm the leader of the church, you know. And you get thinking like that, you know. That's amazing. I can't believe you're doing that. And I realize they're like 23 and I'm 53 and I'm trying to compare apples with, no, like shriveled prunes. I don't know, something like that. It's like it doesn't. You can't compare, right? I mean, I'm an old guy. I have problems. I can't because of the, for doctor stuff. I mean, I just can't do that. So, but you sort of feel that way when you see somebody's like, wow, they're so spiritual. And so there's two things that we learn from this scripture that Jesus is trying to teach us. Number one is you don't fast, all right, to impress people. This is between you and God. It's not between you and other people. And I've seen people that's what these religious people were doing. They're actually in the Old Testament, there were five different fasts that they did at that time during like that. One was suggested in the Old Testament as a fast that was ordained by the law. The other four was instituted while they were in captivity to commemorate sad times or bad things that had happened to them as a nation. And I think it was like the fourth month, the fifth month, the seventh month, and the tenth month. On those days, there was a fast. So Jewish people of those days would fast five times. And so Jesus said, you're not doing it for people. Don't look somber. Don't do all these things. You're not doing it to impress people. And you're doing it for other reasons. And so the second thing that Jesus taught was this, is you don't fast to impress God. And a lot of people fast because they think they can leverage God for something that they want. And I just want to say that to me, I think it's a bit arrogant and offensive for us to think that we can do anything to leverage God. When I was with my three-and-a-half-year-old grandson, you had to watch what you say. Because when you said something like, hey, we're going to get ice cream, they reminded you, like, every, you know, kids, right? Every 5 minutes, we're going to ice cream, right? Yeah, we're going to ice cream. We're going to ice cream, right? Yeah, we're getting ice cream. Yeah, I told you we're going to get ice cream, right? Yeah, yeah. Okay, after a while, that's incredibly annoying. All right? And then finally, you're like, if you don't stop saying we're going to get ice cream, we're not going to get ice cream. And I think it becomes, forgive me, arrogant for us to, like, do that to God. Like, he didn't know what he said. Like his promises aren't really true. Like we have to just hound him. So I'm going to fast to impress God because if I impress God, he's going to do this or that or he's going to do it sooner or faster. God is never impressed by your righteous acts. I just want you to know that right away. There's nothing you can do that makes God go, oh my gosh, that was mind blowing. Did you see what? I've never seen a human do that before. That's just beyond comprehension. Let me tell you, I have some very positive scriptures to show you what God thinks about your good deeds. Here they are. Isaiah 64:6. All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts, our good deeds, are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. And then Romans 3:9-12 says, as it is written, there is no one who is righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. I've heard people try to justify their friends or justify other people who don't have a relationship with God. And the thing that they'll say is, well, you know what? They're a really good person. They treat people nice. They're always kind. They're a good person. And I'm sure that they are a good person compared to other people. But in the light of the God of the universe who created everything, in the light of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, anything that we do is nothing. In fact, the moment that you say, wow, that was really good of what I did, like it impressed God, you made Jesus just a little less. The scripture says in Galatians, if we could get anything done before God, if God was impressed, I'll put it this way, by anything that you did, then Jesus Christ really died for no reason. But the truth of the matter is, there's nothing that we can do spiritually to gain favor with God on our side, because it was all done through what? The cross of Jesus Christ. And every blessing, everything good, everything we have is because our faith in Jesus Christ. And the moment we try to leverage God in any way, we diminish Jesus Christ. Does everybody understand that concept? So I'm not saying you're terrible people. I'm just saying is God is not impressed with anything, but he's impressed by the fact that we love Jesus and Jesus loves us. And he is the mediator for us before God. You can't impress God. You need a savior. Now, Matthew chapter 6, if we go back, that's very interesting because it looks like Jesus is sort of slamming fasting a little bit. He's not really taking away from fasting. He's taking away from people who are religious when they're fasting. There is a situation of the five fasts. Jesus' disciples, while he was on earth, didn't do any of the fasts. And there was a time that John the Baptist sent his disciples to Jesus and said, hey, listen, every good Jew does all five of these fasts. How come your disciples don't do these fasts? And the answer that Jesus gave to him was this, was when the groom is with you, you celebrate the wedding. But when they're gone is when you don't, you fast. So he says, while I'm here on earth, they don't need to fast. But when I leave, they will be fasting. And when my daughter Sarah was married, we all rejoiced. We all were excited. It was a great night when we had that. But I didn't realize at that point, at that moment, in a couple of days, she'd never live with me again. She was gone forever. So Jesus is saying, while I'm here, they're not fasting, but there will be a day that they'll need to fast when I won't be here. That is the time that they'll fast. In fact, when he says this, he doesn't say, if you fast, if you need to fast, if you think you're going to fast. He's saying, when you fast. He says again, when you fast. So I believe with all my heart that Jesus is expecting of every person who follows him that there'll be times and periods of our life when we will fast. It's a part of our spiritual journey. It's a part of our spiritual discipline. So when you fast, now there are several reasons to fast. We're going to go through these. The first illustration is with Jesus, and that is Matthew chapter 4. We have that? Yeah, there we go. 4, 1 through 2. And Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, which is an interesting concept that we won't talk about today. But after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Jesus was completely man and completely God at the same time. So you fast 40 days and 40 nights, you will be hungry. And Jesus fasted before entering into a time of intense temptation or in time of intense ministry. This is right before he goes into his ministry. Think about this. 3.5 years, he will be on a journey towards the cross, discipling men who will take over for his ministry and kingdom to start a new movement. There's going to be a lot of temptations during this time. And we see one here, he's hungry. And Jesus fasted because he knew the intensity of what he's going into. He'd be tempted at one time in the garden to say no to the cross. He'd be tempted to give in to all kinds of things. And so before this, he said, and this is what I believe, I will not let hunger dominate my life. I'm going to get my heart and my life in alignment with what God's will is. This is a huge point that I believe with it on my heart. When we fast, all right, we are saying to our body, you're not going to be in charge of me. The Spirit of God's in charge of me. To my mind, to my emotions, I'm declaring to my body, my mind, and my emotions in 2017, you will not be in charge of my actions. My flesh will not make the decisions for my life. I'm dedicating myself during this time to the voice of God, to the will of God, to the Word of God, because that will dominate me in 2017. So be on notice. There's a new sheriff in town, okay? And it ain't you, body. Because we get tempted by all kinds of things in our life. The cravings of our flesh, the negativity of our mind, the fear of the emotions, of the things that are happening in this world, and the noise of everything around us. And what we're saying is, when we set a time of fast, I'm going to discipline my body because it won't be in control anymore. I'm going to discipline my mind. It won't be in control anymore. There's a couple other places we see in the Bible about, we're going to get into the book of Acts now, see how the leaders of the church. It says, men traveling with Saul stood their speeches. Now, this is a scripture that talks about Saul's conversion. At this time, he was not a Christian. Saul was going around killing Christians, killing people who believed in Jesus. He was torturing the church. There was a time this light shines down. He falls to his feet. It's Jesus is having a conversation with him and say, why are you persecuting me? Then this happens. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. And Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by hand to Damascus, and for 3 days he was blind. He did not eat or drink anything. And now there's all kinds of debates about, was he in shock? That's why he didn't do it. I'm going to just go a different direction with this. I think Paul fasted during time of very spiritual, strong spiritual confusion. He never heard the voice of the Lord before. The voice of the Lord speaks to him. He gets up blind. Something's happening in his life that he doesn't understand, and he goes into this moment where he just doesn't eat to try to figure out what's going on. There are things that happen in life sometimes that we just don't have a handle on. We can't figure out. Disturbing times, times that are confusing to us. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you're in a moment like that, what better time is there to fast and set aside a time and said for the next 7 days or whatever that looks like, God, I'm going to really focus on you. I'm going to just push everything aside so I can hear what you're saying to me, because I'm in a lot of confusion right now. And I can hear a lot of voices. I got a lot of fears. There are things going on. But right now, if I can just focus my time on you. And when I fast, that's what happens. Like when I don't eat and I get hungry, I decide I'm going to pray. God, I'm hungry. That's what I do. Every time there's an urge, it reminds me to pray or to seek God or to ask. And so there's this constant reminder when I'm denying that thing to seek God. And so when I'm fasting and it's a confusion thing, it's a reminder that, God, I need clarity, I need clarity, I need clarity. And so Saul fasted during a time of spiritual confusion. There's one more I'm going to show you, and we see this actually several times in the book of Acts, this concept. It's in Acts chapter 13, 1 through 3. Now, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, and if you were to read the scripture, it gives you the name of several of them. I'm going to skip that. So it was a church that was led by the gift of prophecy and the gift of teaching of the fivefold ministry. These guys were leading it. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said. So they went into a time of just, this is our time of worshiping and fasting. So there wasn't really a reason. It was just probably something they did on a regular basis. And while they were doing that, the Spirit said to them, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. So it really was two concepts of fasting and praying. That was a big deal because they're about to launch into a new world, the world of the Gentiles. Now, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Peter went to the house of Cornelius. He was the first Gentile ever to hear the gospel. So the church of Antioch now is about to send out missionaries to the whole Gentile world. Nobody had ever done that. Going to a place where no man had gone before. And they knew what kind of ruckus it would start in the Jewish church. Because there was many Jews that believed that the gospel shouldn't go to the Gentiles. So this was a big, big demarcation in the life of the church. This was a big crossroads. Are they going to go and branch out into the Gentiles or not? So these men are praying, they're fasting, they're worshiping, and all of a sudden God speaks to them and said, go do this. And there are going to be people come against you. There are going to be people come to your church to come against you. But this is what I've called you to do. And so hearing that, they then prayed and fasted again to lay their hands and send these guys off. So this was to receive spiritual direction. And I think that's one of the most profound things that we can do when we fast is, God, give me direction for this year, for this decision. In fact, I would tell you this. I wouldn't go into any big decision without a season of praying and fasting. Just because you say, I just want to boil it all down. So if I was to boil everything down that Jesus, before going into his ministry, going into places he knew he would be tempted, he fasted and prayed. Paul, when he was in spiritual confusion, the elders of the church, before they made big decisions, they realigned their hearts, their bodies, their minds, their spirit with the will of God. And the easiest way I can say it is this. When it comes to fasting, you don't fast so that God will answer all your prayers. You fast so you know what prayers God is answering. So I'm fasting so I know where God is leading me, what he's doing in my life. I can hear him completely. I fast to remove all the noise of my life. This physical body that wants to lead me astray and take me all kinds of places. I fast so I can go forward with the Lord and hear him clearly. And so every first of the year we fast, and we're starting a fast in our church for the next 3 weeks. It's coinciding with actually several other churches. One of them is Living Streams. It's a church that planted us. We're in connection. We go to men's retreat with them. They're a part of our family. So we're going to fast with them. And then on the 29th, which is a Sunday in the evening time, they're going to break the fast with a time of worship. And I told them that we'd try to get some carpools together, go down there, be one family unit together, break the fast together. We're doing it a little different. This is a scripture that I believe the Lord gave me about our fast. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "May the God of peace set you apart for himself. May every part of you be set apart for God. Your spirit, which is your true self, the self that will live for eternity. Your soul, which in the Bible, when typically it says soul, it means your heart, your emotions, your will, your decisions that you make, that part of your body, of your being. And your body, the physical part of your body, be complete. May you be without blame when our Lord Jesus Christ comes again." So we've come up with a 3-week fast where you're going to set apart your spirit, your soul, and your body. And this is what I'd like you to join me in doing. Week one is a food fast. So that can start tomorrow if you like, until next Sunday, or start today until next Sunday. As I said, I'm going to be doing a Daniel fast. And there's all kinds of information on the web about this. We have some information on our website. So that's basically what Daniel did when he was going before King Nebuchadnezzar. It was fruits and vegetables and I think nuts and stuff like that. And I do a modified version of that. That's between you and your medical professional. So you always need to check with your medical professional if you fast anything that it's okay for you in health-wise to be able to do that. So you need to understand that. If you'd like to join me in that, you're going, "You know what, I can't do that." Well, then maybe it's sugar this week or something like that. Or something that just says, hey, where you'll notice it, okay? It can't be just like, "I'm going to fast my vitamins," something like that. You know what I mean? Can't be, "I'm going to fast." It's got to be something that you notice, like, "Wow, yikes, I didn't get to eat that today." Something that will help you. And when that happens, please focus your heart and eyes and your mind and your spirit on God. Just focus that. So I'm going to be doing the Daniel fast this week. The second week, what we came up with, so that's setting apart my body. To set apart my mind and my intellect is a media fast. That's from the 15th to the 22nd. So that would be next Sunday. I'm going to ask you to fast media. I am going to DVR the playoffs and my favorite shows, but I won't watch TV next week, okay? So it's a little bit of cheating, right? So I'm not going to watch TV during that week. I'm going to get off of, I know this is huge, get off of Facebook. I'm not going to look at Facebook. And I realize I'm going to have to look at the internet because email is my business. I do research on the internet for sermons and stuff like that. So I'm only going to be involved in media that has to do with my business to perform. But I'm getting off everything else. Can you imagine now if the time that you spent watching TV and looking at Facebook, instead you read the Word of God and prayed? That'd rock your world. That'd be life-changing for a week. Just for a week. That would set you up for the rest of the year. And to say to your mind, "You're not going to be in charge, man. You're not going to direct my affairs this year. God's word is going to direct." So that's probably going to be my toughest one, to tell you the truth. And then week three, we'd come up with your spirit is an abundance fast. Do you know that we're incredibly wealthy here in the United States of America? Do you realize statistically if you make more than $50,000 a year, you're in the top 1% of the richest people in the world? Think about that. One day I want to be in the top 1%. You thought that, didn't you? You are probably, okay, if you make that much money. So an abundance fast, this is what I'm going to ask you to do. Things that you wouldn't be able to do, say, in a third world country, the excesses of life. Like, I like to play golf. I'm not going to play golf that week. Jeannie, I like to go out to dinner. We're not going to go out to dinner that week. We're not going to go to the movies that week. Anything that just would be, that we have an abundance of, that we're, I mean, I get it. It's a good thing. But it's not bad. We're going to take a week of living in simplicity and taking the money that we would have spent on that and giving it to something or someone that's less fortunate than us. Can you imagine how powerful that would be for you and your children and your family? Think about this and say, kids, this week, we're not going to do this, and we're not going to do this, and we're not going to do this. And let's think about who, where we want to give that money to help somebody else. I'm telling you right now, this stuff, it changes families, because your kids will go, oh, yeah, we're going to give it to the child in Guatemala, or we're going to give it to the homeless shelter here in town. We're going to do something else. So we have a young lady that we've been supporting in Compassion International from Haiti for 10 years, and she's actually graduating. She wants to go to college. So we're going to take all the money that we would have spent on all those things that week, we're going to give it to her as a seed faith for her college fund to go to college. So that's what we're going to do. So the 3 weeks of fasting we're asking you to join us in is food fast, something like that, a media fast, and then an abundance fast. And we think that will allow us, as that scripture says, to set apart this year, in the beginning of this year, our body, our soul, and our spirit before the Lord and say, Lord, this year we are dedicating ourselves as a family, as a church, as an individual to seek your will, to seek what you're doing in our life, and this is how we're going to do it during this fast. So I know that's overwhelming to people that haven't fasted before. I didn't start fasting until about 8 years ago. I was in a church for years as a pastor. We just never did a fast. I didn't think I understood the power of it. I'm telling you right now, it's pretty powerful for me. When I do this, it really does. It does. It really changes me. So I hope that the Lord will speak to you and you'll be able to dedicate something to that. So we're going to pray and we're going to have the worship team come up. If you'll stand with me. After service, we always have a connecting time at the beginning of every month. We have people in this service, Michael and Andrea Labrin, who are your pastoral care team. And their job is to make sure you're connected, you're doing okay. They say hi to you every Sunday and sort of help me stay connected to and the other pastors, because we have two services about this size and it's hard for us. So we do every month on the back porch a time where you can go after service, have some food, get to know one another, and we think, wow, we're doing a fast. So this time we put out vegetables and fruit out there, okay? So afterwards, when we get out of service, go outside, gnaw on some celery sticks and say hi to one another, okay? Let's pray. So, Father, in the name of Jesus right now, I do set apart my entire being to you. I declare to my body, to my mind, to my emotions, to my decisions, you will be under the authority of the Word of God and the will of God. The Holy Spirit will direct my life just in 2017. I will be intentional about listening to you, Lord. Any big decision, I'm going to seek you first. And I know, God, as we do this, you will speak loud and clear. So please, Lord, visit your people in a strong way. Visit this land in a strong way. We thank you, Father, that you have set up times and opportunities for us to go really strong and deep. And you're a faithful Father. I know you'll meet us there. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit streamschurch.org.